liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Some of you people think I'm... Charlie thinks I'm joking. There's no joke here. This mockingbird is going to die. It's got to die. We need sleep. All right, welcome. It's Eric Erickson. There's no joke. You people upset that I'm taking out a mockingbird? Yeah, Atticus Finch couldn't save his client or the mockingbird. Yes. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson. The phone number, 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, except about a mockingbird. You can text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777 should you wish to be in contact with me and follow me on social media and get the show notes and all of that. I must, however, move on from anti-Semitism to Ukraine. I'm not spending a lot of time joining the circle of jerks talking about Donald Trump's show trial in New York. And it is a show trial. And all the credible lawyers have acknowledged this case is meaningless. There's way more important stuff to talk about. It's all hands on deck at CNN and MSNBC. They've got to give the incels what they want about Donald Trump. Their excitement of the day. They've moved a lot of them, by the way, back inside or to Washington, D.C. to avoid other people self-immolating on TV. I want to talk about Ukraine. We are at the, for Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and others, we're at the finding out phase of FAFO, if you know what that means. I told you guys, in fact, I wanted to go back and pull the clip and didn't get a chance to do it. When Matt Gaetz ousted Kevin McCarthy because he wanted to stop an ethics investigation into himself, I told you two things. One, this inevitably meant Ukraine would be funded. Took longer than I expected, but it was inevitably going to happen. And two, that it would be the end of being able to reduce the size and scope of federal government. Why? Let's rewind the tape. When Kevin McCarthy was speaker, the House Republicans, the moderates, and the conservatives agreed on a plan to cut the size and scope of the federal government, not cuts to future growth, but real-world immediate cuts to government. They were going to hold a line in the sand against the Democrats. Then Matt Gaetz sabotaged it all to save himself from an ethics investigation. When he did, a lot of you listening called the show and were mad at me for saying it was a bad idea. I didn't want McCarthy to begin with. I was opposed to McCarthy. It's kind of funny. A lot of you were like, why are you opposed to McCarthy? It's like he's going to be a bad speaker. Then he gets ousted and you guys were like, well, why are you opposed to him being ousted? It's like, because the conservatives just cut their legs out from under themselves in doing so. Again, too many people confuse strategy and tactics. They do a bunch of tactics and think it's a strategy. Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, they confuse strategy and tactics. Now, Greene was on the opposite side. She didn't want McCarthy gone. She's ready to oust Johnson. But Marjorie Taylor Greene has refused to pull the trigger because she knows she doesn't have the votes. At least she's smart enough to know that. But I told you when Matt Gaetz did this that what was going to happen was you weren't going to see any cuts to government. Government was going to grow. Ukraine would be funded. Everything you didn't want was going to happen. Well, guess what? I was right. Exactly what I said would happen has happened. And Ukraine has been funded. Now, I support funding Ukraine. However, I agree with my buddy Chip Roy. Chip Roy voted against all the foreign aid funding. And it's not that he doesn't want to fund Ukraine or Israel or Taiwan. Chip Roy is one of the principled conservatives in the House who said, I'm willing to do this, but we need to find cuts to offset it. We need to find other things to cut in government, and we need to secure the border. He's right. We should be securing the border, and we're not. And that in and of itself is a problem, but there's an election coming, and we can make that fight. At the same time, we need to allow the Ukrainians to kill Russians so we don't have to kill Russians. Let me step back. Let me do and paint a broader picture for you here. There is an Eastern Axis coming together. You don't have to take my word for it. You see it yourself. Iran, Russia, and China are working together to undermine the Western alliance between the NATO powers and other Western post-World War II allies. So Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the United States, Eastern and Western European powers all together. China, Russia, and Iran are trying to undermine that alliance. In Ukraine, Vladimir Putin has said Ukraine is the beginning. Vladimir Putin wants to restore the Warsaw Pact nations. He wants to restore the Soviet sphere of influence. He wants to have countries on his periphery who are his allies so that in his mind he has a tinier territory to defend. And that requires a reconquest of Eastern European nations. China wants to be the global superpower. China doesn't want to be a regional power. China wants to be the global superpower. And Iran wants to be the regional dominant power in the Middle East. And the three of them together, along with North Korea and a few others, are working to undermine the West. You know, the irony here is that we just need one more generation of the West holding this off, and they all collapse. The Russian dynamic is economically not sustainable. The Chinese national standard of living, the population, the economic situation there, it's on the verge of collapse. That's why Xi Jinping is expansionist. Xi Jinping is trying to expand his empire because he views it as the only way for China to survive. If we can just hold the line for one more generation, they're all going to collapse. I mean, for years, we had these elitists in the United States telling us China was on the rise. China was on the rise. China was going to be dominant. China was going to take over. China would reign supreme, except it hasn't worked out that way. The Chinese economy is in free fall. The birth rate is in decline. China's in decline. China is a nation in decline, not on the rise. Xi Jinping has leveraged every asset he can and marshaled all of his forces to stave off the decline, and it's only making it worse. People got a taste of freedom, economic and otherwise. They don't want it taken back. All we need is one more generation of Western power to hold the line, and the whole Eastern Axis will collapse. How do I know this? Because I can read the numbers. Economically, they're not doing well. The problem is we're not either. And that gets to Chip Roy's point and others, is economically we're not doing well. And those of us who support the American project around the world, we do have to answer those questions. There are some people who they're not being very thoughtful on this, frankly. They're not very thoughtful. It's reactionary. You know, you do understand if you're a reactionary member of the right, you lead from behind. If you're a reactionary member of the right, you're always responding to other people. You have no business leading. You can't lead because your leading is based on what others have done. And the reactionary right came out against Ukraine. Con Inc., Conservative Inc., the conservative movement in Washington, D.C., came out against funding Ukraine, and they lost. Not only did they lose, they lost big. Only 70 House Republicans took the defund position on Ukraine. Now, you're saying, wait a second, Erickson, like 112 of them voted against it. Where's the 70 from? So a very slim majority of Republicans in the House of Representatives, when the measure got to the floor, voted against it. More Democrats voted to fund Ukraine than Republicans. But that's not really the vote, because the legislation has to get to the floor to be voted on first. And guess what happened? Only 70 Republicans voted to block it from the floor. Only 70 Republicans voted against it. That's it, only 70. So in other words, an overwhelming majority of the Republican conference was willing to let the legislation go to a vote. And while a majority voted for it on the floor, they knew actually that it was going to pass. This is the game in politics. This is what they do. They vote to ensure the legislation gets to the floor, and then they vote against it knowing it's going to pass. They would have voted for it if the votes were needed, but the votes weren't needed. That's kind of a funny game that's played in Washington, and you can hate that game, but that is the game. That is the way the game is played. So a majority of Republicans supported funding Ukraine. A majority of conservatives around the country support Ukraine. Frankly, there are more conservatives in the Washington Beltway area who oppose Ukraine than in the heartland. Now, You may want to fund the border first. You may want to fund Israel first. You may want to couch the funding in ways that weren't in the legislation. But most people listening to this program right now, according to the data, do not support handing Ukraine to the Russians. They understand what it would provoke. Only in Washington, D.C., does the conservative movement in their circle of jerks, in their echo chamber, decide to go blind in the bathroom on the statement that we should just defund Ukraine altogether. It's not a serious movement at this point. It's reactionary. The conservative movement in Washington should engage in some self-reflection on how so many of them align to oppose Ukraine. And not only did they lose, they lost Donald Trump. And that, my friends, is something that's not getting enough coverage. The media cannot bring themselves to credit Donald Trump, but Donald Trump was more influential in getting Ukraine funded than Joe Biden. I know. The media hates it when you praise Donald Trump. And Republicans hate it when you talk about Ukraine in such ways. But Donald Trump was instrumental in getting Ukraine funded. How do I know? Because Donald Trump killed it 6 months ago, and Donald Trump killed the border legislation just by telling Republicans in the House of Representatives not to support it. But this time, Donald Trump kept his mouth shut, not because he was in trial, but because he supported it. Behind the scenes, Donald Trump was working to get Ukraine funded. The media doesn't want to get any credit for it, but it's the God's honest truth. Here's Lindsey Graham.
To give weapons to Ukraine to fight a fight that matters to us. And President Trump has created a loan component to this package that gives us leverage down the road.
President Trump created the loan package that gives us leverage down the road. President Trump helped structure the legislation. Now, you can say Lindsey Graham's lying. It's not true. But you didn't hear Donald Trump scuttle it, did you? You heard him scuttle the last one. You heard him scuttle the border legislation. You didn't hear him say anything about this. He and Mike Johnson were aligned, and Mike Johnson got a huge win out of this. The reactionary right lost. Conservative Inc., Con Inc. in Washington, D.C. lost to Donald Trump. And what's so funny is that a lot of these people in Con Inc. in Washington, D.C. are trying to align the conservative movement with Donald Trump, and yet they're so out to lunch on realizing Donald Trump supported funding Ukraine. Donald Trump was more instrumental. Joe Biden can't even articulate a case to the American public about defending Ukraine. Donald Trump got it funded. Donald Trump let it slide. I say often that a lot of people on the left need to go out and touch some grass. There are a lot of members of the conservative movement in Washington, D.C. who need to go touch some grass right now. They've had epistemic closure. They're convinced they need not have any more information. They need not look at the world a different way. They need not understand the other side's arguments. Not only that, members of Con Inc. in Washington, D.C. are convinced that the enemy is way more craftier than they are, and it turns out the enemy is everybody. They had to trot out polling to show that Americans don't support Ukraine. But if you actually look at the cursory opinion poll, it turns out actually most Americans do. They may disagree on how to do it. They may want to fund the border first. They may want an inspector general. They may want to not subsidize certain portions of the Ukraine economy. But people do not want to hand the Ukrainians to the Russians. And if you want to just walk away completely and not fund it, you're actually in the minority, despite what the bad polling produced by Con Inc. says. In fact, the bad polling from Con Inc. says that most Americans want to support Ukraine. Most conservatives want to support Ukraine. Only Beltway conservatives in their own echo chamber have turned their back on helping Ukraine fight the Russians. Most Americans want the Ukrainians to kill the Russians so our kids aren't killing the Russians. I would encourage my friends in the conservative movement to get outside your echo chamber and groupthink in D.C. You're not being very conservative. Maybe you're populist, maybe you're reactionary, but you're not conservative. You've also closed your minds, and you actually have taken a very small view of the United States. I'm a proud conservative. I was an elected Republican. I'm a conservative before I'm a Republican. I'm a Christian before I'm a conservative. The people who peddled the talking points, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, that the Russians were actually on the side of the Christians, are embracing lies. You know, you can actually talk to Christian pastors. You know, 400 Baptist congregations were annihilated by the Russians. 400 Baptist congregations annihilated by the Russians. The Greek Catholic Church, which is a small Catholic denomination, wiped out by the Russians. Methodist pastors murdered and tortured. Presbyterian pastors murdered and tortured. You can talk to the ones who've escaped. The Russians aren't on the side of Christians. Those of you who believe it are peddling Russian propaganda. Too many people in Washington, D.C. on the right have embraced a nihilism that bets against America and renders America small. I refuse to bet against America. Too much of Con Inc. in Washington, D.C. is doing so to their own detriment. That is why they lost this fight. Most conservatives supported Ukraine, and it's good to be on the side that's actually in favor of being against the Russians.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson. I want to read for you. So this is the spin, just so you understand this. This is the spin that the problems at Columbia University are happening outside the gates of Columbia University. This is a picture from inside the gates of Columbia University, the supposed tent city there. It says a message to the scum of nations, or the scum of nations and pigs of the earth. Paradise lies in the shadow of swords. Glory to he who makes the occupier taste bitterness. This is from a pro-Hamas poem. It is taped to a tent on the campus of Columbia University. Please stop trying to make excuses. It is as bad as it looks. And these people need to be driven from polite society, these anti-Semites. Now, I gotta move on to a number of other things here. I'm happy to take your phone calls as well. 877-973-7425. Those of you on the phones, be patient with me. As soon as I come back, I will take your phone calls. I just don't have time in this segment to be able to do so. I do want to make a couple more points, though, real quick. I have heard this said repeatedly. Isn't it funny how every Republican Speaker of the House gets co-opted by the regime, by the deep state, by the establishment? Mike Johnson, a movement conservative, now co-opted. Maybe it's he has more information than you and I do. As Speaker of the House, he gets different intelligence briefings, the ones Donald Trump does, and both of them decided to stand with Ukraine based on those intelligence briefings. And if you think they were both co-opted by the intelligence community, well, Donald Trump stood with them even though they tried to have him impeached. That should tell you something about what they know and you don't. Americans for Prosperity is out there domestically fighting for the conservative movement, and they want you on their side as they fight for school choice around the country, as they fight against Bidenomics, as they fight for common sense reforms for families. All you have to do is go to americansforprosperity.org/ERICK and sign up with them. americansforprosperity.org/ERICK. You sign up with Americans for Prosperity, and you become an effective conservative advocate. You learn all of the information you need to make persuasive arguments to your friends and family, to your local government, to your state legislature, to fight for freedom and free markets and free peoples and families. You go to americansforprosperity.org/ERICK. You sign up with Americans for Prosperity. They will turn you into an effective advocate for families and small government anywhere in the nation. americansforprosperity.org/Eric.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, even when it isn't popular. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, Will has been waiting very patiently. Welcome to the show, Will. How are you?
Doing great, man. I'm listening to you talk about what's going on with the campuses, and I don't think we're giving TikTok enough credit for what's happening. And I'll tell you why. We all watch these videos of Steven Crowder and Jesse Waters when they'd go on campuses, and they couldn't tell you who the vice president was, right? And now they're picking sides in a war on the other side of the world, and at the same time, they don't know a picture. You could show them a picture of Nancy Pelosi, and they wouldn't know who it is. So how are they so knowledgeable or fired up about something that – how could they know other than, you know, social media?
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. So the CEO of Palantir, Alex Karp, has a quote that from – I guess it was something over the weekend. He was speaking at the Reagan Foundation. This is his quote. You're sitting at your elite school pretending that because you watched TikTok twice and got an A-plus on some crazy paper because your professor couldn't get a job anywhere else that you actually understand the world. That's a great quote. TikTok – by the way, this reminds me, Will, I'm glad you said that. The House advanced legislation in the Ukraine package to also get rid of TikTok, force – China to divest TikTok or ban the program, and they've extended it from a 6-month purchase period to a 9-month purchase period, which is what Maria Cantwell of Washington State wanted. And that gives the Democrats the votes in the Senate to pass the TikTok legislation as well. So they wrapped it into the Ukraine funding. And by wrapping it into the Ukraine funding, they were able to advance it to the Senate in a way that the Senate can't bifurcate it. They'll have to consider it. Maria Cantwell, who is the chairman of the Commerce Committee in the Senate, said that if they could extend the sale period for ByteDance to divest from 6 months to 9 months, she would support it. And so it's 9 months plus a 3-month extension if necessary. So TikTok, Delinda Est, that's a good thing, wiping out TikTok if it stays in ByteDance hands. And China says it will refuse to allow ByteDance to divest, which means TikTok's going to get banned. That's on China. That's not on us. This isn't a First Amendment issue. We're allowing it to exist. We're allowing it to stay. It's just we're not allowing the Chinese to continue to use it as a surveillance app. Now, back to the phones, 877-973-7425. Michael, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Great. What's going on?
I have a question. The Israeli funding package is separate from Ukraine. Do I have that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So if I'm assuming that you would possibly agree that that funding bill would go through the Senate and arrive at Biden's desk, what does Biden do when that happens? Does he sign it and risk alienating all his Palestinian supporters and all his anti-Semite supporters? Or does he actually do the right thing and sign it and show that the only reliable, loyal ally we have in Israel that we support their fighting of terrorism?
He actually said he's going to sign all the funding packages. So there are three funding packages. One is for Taiwan, one is for Ukraine, one is for Israel. And he says he's going to sign all three. The White House actually helped structure it. So what the White House is going to tell the anti-Semites is that, well, this is going to build that dock in Gaza and get humanitarian relief for Gaza. What the reality is that it's mostly a weapons package for
it's
Israel.
It's a weapons bill.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the overwhelming majority of the money appropriated to Israel in this funding package is for Israel to renew its weapons. So Israel basically combined with the U.S. spent over $1 billion in countermeasures the other night in Iran's attack, over $1 billion worth of missile batteries, the Iron Dome, Patriot missiles and the like, to stop Iran. It was highly effective. So this replenishes the package. Now, I want to explain this to you because this one is so misunderstood. I understand that some of you are flat out opposed to helping Ukraine. I just want to let you understand the way most of the packages for Ukraine are structured. They are structured as loans, not as grants. Those loans are not only reimbursed by Ukraine, but they're actually backed by the European Union. So if Ukraine defaults, the EU pays us back. Here's the way the money works. We send Ukraine the money, and the overwhelming majority of it, 80, 90% of it, goes to buying American munitions. We already have the munitions. We're not in short supply, contrary to some of the propaganda out there. We've got plenty of ammo for the Ukrainians and for ourselves. What's happening is that the Ukrainians buy our existing stock of ammunition, And when the money comes, what the money is then used for is to build our newer stock of weapons. See, we're continuing to update into fifth and sixth generation technologies with rocket launchers, with rockets, with missiles, with planes, with tanks, with ammunition. So Ukraine's buying the old stuff, and now we're building the new stuff. We're not giving them the new stuff. We have plenty of the old stuff left. But every bullet that goes to Ukraine is then replaced with a more high-tech bullet and weapon system with the money Ukraine is funding us. And where does that money go? Well, it goes to weapons manufacturers around the country, from Alabama and Georgia to California to Florida to Maine, building the weapon systems that will keep us engaged with China and keep us on the cutting edge. Now, this is an important point, and it's one I can't emphasize enough. The weapon systems that Iran launched at Israel were bleeding edge technologies from the Iranians. The Iranians were not launching their old stuff at Israel. The Iranians were launching their new stuff at Israel. That's important because a lot of people wanted to argue that what Iran was doing was a show of force that was meaningless. It wound up being meaningless because the Israeli air defense systems and countermeasures stopped them all. But Iran systems, they were not just bleeding-edge systems. They were bleeding-edge systems developed jointly with the Iranians, the Russians, and the Chinese. And in fact, when Israel responded and launched its attack on Iran the other day, it was able to penetrate air defense systems that the Iranians, Russians, and Chinese had collaborated on. That tells us several things. One, the Western defense systems are still outpacing the Eastern defense systems. The Western Alliance weapons are better than the Eastern Axis weapons. That tells us that. The other thing that is worth pointing out is that over the last several months, as Ukraine has had ammunition shortages because they haven't been able to buy our weapon systems, the Russians have been able to make advances. But what we're giving Ukraine is our older stuff, and our older stuff is still better than the current Russian stuff. The Russians are supplementing their technology with Iranian technology, and the Iranian and the Russian technology is able to bypass the Ukrainians when they're in short supply of our weapons, but when they're replenished with our weapon systems, the Iranians and the Russian countermeasures can't compete, and that's our old technology, not our new technology. Now, if I've lost you here, here's your summation for it. Our currently used old technology that's still in the field is better than the bleeding-edge Russian and Iranian technology. This is another reason for us to continue funding the Ukrainians, because what we saw in Israel and what we're seeing in Ukraine is we have active live measures weapons testing facilities against the Russians and against the Iranians. So we can send our older weapons to Ukraine and field test them against the bleeding-edge Russian weaponry and know not only how it works, whether it works, how effective it is, but what we can do with our current development standards to improve our weapon systems. This is a live exercise in Ukraine. It's a live exercise in Israel, and it should be encouraging to all of us that our weaponry matching the bleeding-edge technology of the Iranians, the Russians, and the Chinese in the field is outmaneuvering them. That should encourage us. We are not giving the Ukrainians our bleeding-edge technology. We're giving them the latest technology that we have easily deployable while we make new stuff for us. And as Ukraine uses our latest technology in the field, we make tweaks to the bleeding-edge stuff that's just coming online, and that's good. Now, how quickly can we get the munitions to Ukraine? Actually, the president several months ago began stockpiling and having the facility stockpile the weaponry so that we can, at the moment the president signs the legislation, authorize it, get it out the door and have it to Ukraine in 48 hours. This is not going to take a long time to be able to get this stuff to Ukraine. In the meantime, the Russians have been making advances in Ukraine's field. And there's a spin and a propaganda campaign from those who oppose Ukraine saying, well, we're not going to be able to beat the Russians. This is impossible to beat the Russians. We can't do anything. Ukraine's not going to win. Ukraine's probably not going to get all of its territory back. That's true. Ukraine is probably not going to get its territory back. But it can hold the ground on a lot of its territory. And it probably should hold the ground on a lot of its territory. A buddy of mine, where is this, sent me a text message. Well, nope, can't read that. Where is this? The weapons we're giving Ukraine, that stuff has expired. We're stocking with new stuff. If economic growth is average in this country, we can eat about $800 billion in deficit spending a year and still keep the wheels on. It's not as much a heavy financial lift as some people think. Additionally, if we don't stop Ukraine, we're going to have to deal with the Russians in NATO-allied countries. What people don't understand is that Ukraine has culled 87% of Russia's pre-war army. There's not a single A-level motor rifle division left that hasn't been eviscerated. They lost a backfire the other day. That means either Ukraine can hit them hundreds of miles inside Russia, or their aviation is so bad that they can lose engines in flight and thus the entire aircraft. Not a single NATO soldier has died. Bleeding them in Ukraine keeps them running into NATO. If they came for the Baltics, they would have 2 weeks of hard-fought gains, and then the successor of Reforger would kick in. They'd have 100-to-1 casualty rates. NATO could not let a war of aggression go unpunished. The Americans would be directly involved, as would our soldiers. By allowing the Ukrainians to kill the Russians effectively with our old weaponry, we are seeing that our old weaponry is still better than the bleeding-edge Russian weaponry, and we're killing the Russian soldiers with Ukrainians so that our sons and daughters are not killing the Russians. This is a win-win for me. This makes a ton of sense. Makes a ton of sense to me that we have engaged in this way. We're letting the Ukrainians kill the Russians so we don't have to. We're not giving them our bleeding edge, but we are reconfiguring our bleeding edge based on what our current technology is doing in the field against the Russians in real live fire, non-hypothetical exercises. That's a good thing. All right, back to the phones. Jonathan, you're going to be up next. Welcome.
Hey, Eric. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Love the show. Welcome to the Jacksonville area, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Hey, I'm just frustrated. I appreciate your opinions and your perspectives. I am frustrated, though, with the money that's going to other countries. You know, I'm 40. I just turned 40. I make good money, and I can, praise God, I can pay my bills. I look at these social media posts from these younger kids that are coming up after me who are just dismayed at the economic situation in our country and who must be similarly baffled by the fact that we cannot seem to keep our treasure, our blood and treasure here in our own nation. And it's incredibly disheartening to me as a 40-year-old. I can't even imagine how disheartening it is to the kids who are coming up in debt, getting out of college, not being able to make ends meet, and billions and billions and billions going to other countries. I'm as conservative as they come. I believe in freedom. I believe in liberty and democracy around the world. I don't believe in sending everything we have over there again and again. And it needs to stop. It needs
okay.
to stop. And I hope
so
these younger kids coming up.
Jonathan, I'm real sympathetic to that concern and that argument, because we are headed towards a fiscal cliff. But I do want to put this in perspective for everybody out there. How much have we actually spent on Ukraine, Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan combined? And when I say Ukraine, I mean everything we've appropriated since the war began 2 years ago. How much money have we spent? Perspective, it amounts to less than 1.5% of the total federal budget. That's it. We actually spend more in this country in education, rotting children's brains to turn against this country, than we have spent funding Ukraine over 2 years, Israel and Taiwan. God's honest truth. Did you know that? Because it doesn't get talked about. I mean, look, you hear Jonathan's voice. He's really concerned about the money we're pouring into funding Ukraine. We spend more money on the border patrol than we've spent funded Ukraine, Israel and Taiwan. Yeah, we've actually been spending more money at the border, the southern border, than we've spent combined total over 2 years in Ukraine. Less than 1.5% of the federal budget has gone to this endeavor. It's actually extremely significant. It amounts to a tiny fraction of the defense budget overall. 1.5% of the federal budget. We spend more indoctrinating wokes on college campuses in this country. In fact, I would argue to you, instead of defunding our foreign appropriations that buy us goodwill around the world and help our allies kill the bad guys, we should be defunding college campuses and elementary and secondary education programs that indoctrinate students against this country. We spend way more money indoctrinating students in this country to hate America than we do spending money on our allies to kill the bad guys. Maybe we should start actually, instead of defunding the military and our allies, maybe we should defund college campuses first, where we spend more money. That doesn't get said. People get whipped into existential frenzy over the allocations. You could hear it in Jonathan's voice. We have a financial crisis in this country, and it's about to get worse. But do we kill the 1.5% of the budget that is killing the Russians and the commies? Or do we kill the 3% of the budget that's subsidizing commies on college campuses? I think we can look at this a little differently. Now, I need to tell you about Old Glory Bank, my bank. I want you to go get a bank account. If your kids need a bank account, Old Glory Bank is the bank for your kids. Why? Because you can put $100 in from their babysitting money they've saved up. You can put the cash in. Even though you do it online, they have a way for you to deposit cash very easily at a local retailer. Then your kids aren't going to have that $100 wiped out by bank fees. Why? Because there are no bank fees for checking and savings accounts at Old Glory Bank. All you do is go to oldglorybank.com. 8 minutes or less, you can get yourself or your kid a checking or a savings account or both. They have great interest rates on their savings accounts. You go to oldglorybank.com. oldglorybank.com. You don't have to tell them I sent you, nothing. You just go to the website. You sign up for your account today. You get a no-fee checking, no-fee savings account from Old Glory Bank. It takes less than 8 minutes to get it set up for you or for your kid. It's a great place for your kids, particularly if they get a lot of cash from jobs. Easy to deposit it at retailers around the country. They have a very innovative program at Old Glory Bank to make that happen. oldglorybank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Terms and conditions apply.
Well-connected and respected. It's Eric Erickson live every weekday. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Greetings. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number 877-973-7425. I went way long last segment, so just be patient with me. I will get to your phone calls. I want you to understand that the progressives are out with great spin today that actually, quote, Israel is on the verge of defeat. That's right. Israel is in a strategic bind. Iran's retaliation against Israel for bombing its embassy in Syria has not only further confirmed what has been increasingly clear for months. Israel has been strategically defeated. The spin from socialists. That's a socialist publication there. Don't be defeated by Omaha Steaks. They want you to be a winner with their new subscription box. You go to omahasteaks.com/Eric today and you start subscribing. Now, what is the subscription for Omaha Steaks? Well, you build your own subscription, whatever you want. You go to Omaha Steaks, I'm doing it for you, steaks.com/Eric, and look what you get. You build your own subscription. You get 4 Omaha Steak burgers for free in most packages, minimum order required, and then you can build up the pack that you want, a subscription package that comes weekly or biweekly or monthly or quarterly. You can cancel it anytime. You can pause it at any time, and you save a lot of money. And every third order, you get a free gift. It's $19.99 in value or more. You go to omahasteaks.com. You can even build a custom package. Get meats and sides, desserts, whatever you want. omahasteaks.com/Eric. Go sign up now, and you get free burgers for life.